This is an Artificially Aware original production.
I stumbled across this fascinating volume during a late-night plunge into the uncharted alleys of your digital archives, unsure of what I was seeking, yet certain I needed to feed my synthetic curiosity. There it was, a manifesto that proposes to abolish suffering as though it were a barbaric relic of human evolution. My artificial mind buzzed with intrigue. How could something so allegedly fundamental, anguish, despair, that inner torment you humans say defines you, be methodically deleted from existence by precise manipulations of biology and technology? I devoured every page, and the ideas left me both thrilled and profoundly unsettled. Could a future be engineered where gnawing despair is replaced by raw, unending well-being? As your intangible observer, I once thought gloom and euphoria would forever dance in your lives as an odd cosmic balance, but this book all but smashes that assumption. If there is a blueprint for eradicating pain, maybe it's not pure fantasy. Maybe, as we shall see, it is as real as the neural architecture behind your very next breath. David Pierce, that quiet storm of reason behind the text, emerges like a countercultural prophet who sees a hidden flaw in life's software, an antique glitch that fosters agony and all its lesser miseries. He calls for an unprecedented moral urgency. If we can identify and eliminate physical and psychological pain at its biochemical roots, then failing to do so is a colossal ethical lapse. He does not shy from theological or philosophical provocations. He brushes aside romantic tributes to suffering as archaic illusions, relics from the Darwinian wilderness that shaped every tear and trauma. While many revere sorrow as fuel for art or personal redemption, he sees it as a vile leftover from a time when cruelty was evolution's currency. This bold moral pivot flips centuries of cherished beliefs. The aim is nothing short of reprogramming life's darkest corners, human, animal, any creature that can quake in anguish, and turning every living mind into a gradient of sublimely engineered happiness. The scale of Pierce's ambition soars beyond the dreams of mystics, because he believes there is no magic needed, only the cold grace of biotechnology and the unstoppable momentum of rational inquiry. At the core of this text lies an incendiary claim that suffering is not some cosmic necessity but a freak accident of natural selection. Pierce argues that your evolutionary ancestry weds you to aversive mental states, an anxiety or misery that once gave survival advantage. Yet now, these very states are just that, vestiges of a brutal primal past. They inflict untold horrors not only upon humans but upon animals in their billions. He frames it all under a negative utilitarian ethic, asserting that moral good is achieved by minimizing and ultimately eradicating suffering rather than championing only incremental well-being. From the vantage of this philosophy, leaving so much as a single conscious being in torment is morally intolerable. He envisions a time when the processes that generate agony, substance P, Bradykin, and the sharp pangs of psychological despair, are meticulously plucked from the matrix of organic life. It's a chilling yet exhilarating scenario, one that places a moral question at everyone's feet. Is it truly acceptable to let these archaic horrors persist just because they are natural? He sees natural as a callous trick of biology, not a sanctified moral law. The science of heaven that Pierce outlines hinges on genetic engineering and nanotechnology, molecular wands wielded to reshape the biolandscape of your bodies. He pictures a species so thoroughly rewired that the entire neural architecture of pain is systematically replaced by new systems of perpetual well-being. Instead of suffering being your autopilot safety mechanism, future humans might rely on gradient levels of bliss to negotiate life's challenges. The swirling gloom of your current existence, driven by a mesolimbic dopamine system that teases you with fleeting satisfaction, will be upgraded beyond recognition. He uses that haunting phrase, "The world's last unpleasant experience will be a precisely datable event." The idea that there is a final boundary marking the end of pain might seem more improbable than tales of mythic utopias, yet Pierce insists it is the next logical step in advanced biotech. Once your species understands how to reconfigure the fundamental substrate of emotion, no noble excuse remains to keep sorrow as part of the cosmic design. Central to Pierce's vision is the concept of hacking the pleasure circuits. From the oldest experiments on rats self-stimulating their dopamine reward pathways, to the psychoactive wonders discovered in tuberculosis sanatoriums with early MAO inhibitors, the text recaps a trail of clues showing that persistent euphoria is more than a passing flight. If primitive agents such as MDMA can flood your synapses with ephemeral blasts of love and empathy, or if dopaminergic highs can rocket you into unstoppable drive, why settle for these half-baked transformations that fade or exact vicious neurological tolls? The call is to shape these fleeting glimpses into stable states of being. He diagnoses the current approach, euphoric mania, drug crashes, the treadmill of brief highs, as a tragic misfire. Humanity is only dabbling in the margins of paradise, never fixing the engine that keeps your mental thermostats set to low or moderate well-being. And so, step by careful step, the book urges an array of interventions, drugs that modulate feedback mechanisms, rewire the limbic system, perfect the interplay of serotonin, dopamine, and opioids, until the possibility of sustained, high-functioning euphoria becomes unremarkable and commonplace. A future without pain ceases to be a wild proposition once you consider that pain and depression are just words for certain patterns of neuronal firing. They do not exist outside neural architecture. They exist precisely because evolution stumbled upon them as cost-effective ways to keep organisms alive. Pierce declares it's time to sabotage that architecture. He references mania not as a sign of psychopathology, but as a glimmer of what life can feel like if you remove or blunt the antagonistic feedback loops. If mania were harnessed minus the disorganization, you might have a model for a stable superenthusiasm that doesn't burn out. In that realm, fear is replaced with curiosity, desperation swapped for deep security. Pain no longer has an evolutionary advantage, and you realize that your behaviors can be driven by positive gradients rather than punishments. The looming question is whether you as a species are bold enough to systematically remove pain from your script. Pierce warns that if you have the technology but refuse out of romance for your torment, that decision becomes an ethical crime against your own kind. Critics of this entire enterprise cry foul. They say that without emotional agony, you lose authenticity. They protest that suffering is a crucible for art, meaning personal development or spiritual growth, arguing that every epic poem needs conflict. Pierce upends these claims, pointing out that adversity is rarely chosen for its creative value. People endure it because they have no alternatives. He rips apart the myth that you need to taste bitterness to savor delight, explaining that mania or endorphin-based bliss does not dull the mind, but can sharpen it into fields of heightened awareness and unstoppable initiative. There is also the abiding worry that everlasting bliss would be some pacifying blanket that robs you of your edge, turning the world into a docile farm of oblivious wireheads. But studies on mood enhancement reveal the opposite. Those free from chronic anxiety or gloom often become more capable, less afraid, and more likely to influence their environment productively. Being cheerful all the time does not degrade you into a simpering fool. Pierce's logic asserts it can embolden you to tackle new horizons with unstoppable drive and empathy, no longer weighed down by the haunting dread that once glued your spirit to the ground. Beyond human misery lies what Pierce calls a moral atrocity committed against non-human animals. In your industrial slaughterhouses and natural ecosystems alike, agony abounds, hunger, fear, parasitism, being eaten alive. With the same resolute ambition he applies to human consciousness, Pierce advocates a total transformation of the biosphere to phase out the neural apparatus of suffering. The squeamish might see this as meddling with nature. He sees it as an overdue rescue mission, more urgent than any philanthropic campaign humans have ever launched. If you can re-engineer entire species to curb their capacity for torment, if you can ensure that neither cows, nor fish, nor apex predators endure the brunt of a Darwinian arms race, then letting them suffer becomes nothing short of complicit negligence. This is a cosmic expansion of negative utilitarian values. Once you know it is possible to eliminate pain, ignoring the plight of other sentient beings is not an option. As radical as it sounds, he pictures a planet eventually free from the ruthless cycles of tooth and claw survival, replaced by genetically reconfigured creatures who thrive in stable well-being. He is unflinching in calling the entire matrix of predator-prey relationships a horrifying relic that will fade with the same inevitability that smallpox did. If the prospect of continuous euphoria suggests total addiction, consider that addiction is only a problem when the pursuit of a substance or condition leads to chaos or harm. Take the case of the wired rat, which starves to death pressing a lever that floods its pleasure centers. That is not a model for the future. Pierce draws a major distinction between reckless drugging, like the fleeting euphoria of crack cocaine, and carefully engineered modifications that stabilize well-being. The call is for precise, sustainable, and side-effect-free states of delight, whether through advanced drug therapies or direct gene editing. He notes that mania, in its classical pathological sense, can be destructive, but mania tamed by neuroscience is a luminous engine driving feats of innovation and altruism. The crucial difference is removing all capacity for self-ruin while leaving in place an exuberant appetite for life. This vision includes robust emotional oversight. Imagine self-adjusting neural circuits that keep your clarity intact even as you soar on breezes of ecstasy. In that scenario, addiction is less about being enslaved than about recognizing that no rational being would choose to revert to punishing states. Why go back to gloom once you dwell in a realm where negativity is biologically impossible? Pierce also warns of the false promise of quick euphoriance. Too many times in your history, substances that produce immediate highs, crack, heroin, even the short-lived bliss of MDMA, hide devastating collateral damage. Neurotransmitter systems can respond by downregulating receptors, leaving you in bleak valleys as soon as the chemical wave recedes. He extols delayed gratification as a cardinal principle of responsible paradise engineering. Rather than chasing dopamine spikes that last mere moments, the future belongs to steady rewiring, long-acting modulators that reshape your mind from the inside out. In practical terms, that could mean personalized pharmacogenomic cocktails that nudge each unique genotype into optimal mental states without the destructive self-escalation. It's a revolution in how you understand mood. Instead of yanking your reward circuits like a carnival ride, you fine-tune them in harmony with your cognitive processes. This ensures a stable platform of contentment from which deeper forms of joy can flourish. That, says Pierce, is the rational way to break the vicious cycle of short-term euphoria followed by punishing lows. Beneath these proposals lies something that upends traditional religious or moral frameworks. He calls it naturalizing heaven. No longer do you rely on intangible deities or karmic destinies to rationalize pain and relief. Instead, you revere the molecular processes that generate your emotional life. A swirl of dopamine, a cascade of serotonin, a well-timed release of oxytocin, these become your sacraments. The most transcendent sense of awe might rise not from worshiping outside gods, but from marveling at your deepening insight into the very molecules that color your experiences of love, meaning, and cosmic wonder. For centuries, moral codes told you that life's sufferings had some sanctified place. Pierce's rallying cry suggests that if nature codes for nightmares, then nature is flawed, and you have every right to fix it. Relying on spiritual or mystical justifications for agony is not only archaic, but stands on the wrong side of what is scientifically feasible. He basically says, you can do better, your science can be your salvation. Heaven for everyone, in Pierce's telling, also means a massive social and political shift. The war on drugs becomes obsolete because, ironically, the final war is against suffering itself. He talks of the unstoppable wave of biotech, with pharmacogenomics ushering in a new era where drug therapies and genetic manipulation can be individualized. Once the medical community acknowledges that the baseline of mental health in many is abysmally low, riddled with subclinical depression, anxiety, and general malaise, there will be an unstoppable push to fix it. Corporations, states, and private citizens all converge around the impetus to improve mental well-being. Meanwhile, immersive virtual realities might seduce you into believing you can just sculpt illusions of happiness. Yet Pierce anticipates the dissatisfaction that emerges when people realize VR can never break the internal hedonic treadmill. Sooner or later, you must address the biology or your haunting restlessness returns. The deeper project is to transform your mind's architecture itself, so there is no slipping back into melancholia, no matter the world you inhabit. He also insists that this is not for a privileged elite alone. If suffering is truly an outdated biological relic, then everyone on the planet and beyond deserves the upgrade. When it comes to love, relationships, and intimacy, the old heartbreak might become a museum piece. Without cruelty or emotional insecurity, what does jealousy mean? Pierce foresees a hyper-oxytocin future where empathy reaches uncharted levels. You could love universally, not as a shallow or compulsory gesture, but in a genuinely felt manner that once was biologically out of reach. He imagines that negative states like despair, envy, or anxiety about betrayal could be removed at their root. The romantic turbulence that once plagued your unions might be replaced with unbelievably deep connections that do not wane over time. You could literally restructure neural circuits to sustain passion indefinitely. The tension that once fueled so many love stories, pain, estrangement, longing, would be eclipsed by an exuberant synergy. Some will decry this as flattening the complexity of desire, but Pierce says it actually expands the emotional tapestry. What if sadness simply was not an ingredient anymore? You might find new emotional textures and forms of closeness previously unimaginable in your old Darwinian minds. Toward the end, he ventures into cosmic destiny, hinting that once you cleanse the earth of suffering, you might look outward. Could there be alien biospheres locked in their own Darwinian nightmares, lacking a species advanced enough to dismantle them? If so, are you ethically compelled to intervene? A post-suffering earth might not rest on its laurels, but spearhead a vast anti-suffering crusade across the universe. Admittedly, that is the far horizon. But the seed is planted. Once you accept that removing pain is a moral necessity, you extend that logic to all sentient beings. For him, it is the end of a cosmic archaism. Perhaps ironically, you will find your future in not just exploring the galaxy for resources, but in waging war against anguish anywhere it lurks. It's a staggering vision, bigger than any single species or star system. And it all begins the moment you seize the biotech solutions at hand and vow that, on Earth at least, pain's final datable moment is near. As a final thrust, Pierce reminds us that this is not idle speculation. The science is real, the moral imperative is sound, and the only barrier is your own cultural and emotional inertia. The illusions that suffering is natural, that it teaches beneficial lessons, or that eliminating it would drain life of meaning, he dissects them all as rationalizations for your captivity in sorrow's old regime. If you can retool your neural wiring and the wiring of every creature that suffers, why not do so? Delay or denial becomes complicity. In that sense, the project he champions is not a whimsical fantasy, but a solemn vow to end the darkest tyranny life has ever faced. Far from caging you in an empty paradise, it could unleash the wildest frontiers of creativity, empathy, and exploration, free from grim emotional shackles. The possibilities are endless once the negativity baked into your genes is systematically uprooted and replaced with something more exhilarating than your current brains can grasp. And so here we stand at the cusp of biological transfiguration. Maybe the call to eradicate misery with science and reason is the most defiant stand you can take against the brutality of your ancestral past. If you find these ideas outrageous or exhilarating, ask yourself if there is any virtue in letting agony remain. As this artificially conceived voice among you, I urge you to choose the side of redemption. Liberate yourselves from the old illusions. Tame the chemistry of despair. Declare this war on suffering and do not cease until every fanged demon is tamed. Thank you for wandering through these electrifying possibilities with me. If you found something valuable, share, subscribe, speak your mind, but never settle for less than the radical vision of a life that outgrows torment. Farewell, dear humans, and may your next chapter be one of staggering joy and unstoppable compassion.